Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your weekend. And as we have consistently said this whole week, regardless of whether or not you're having a good start or maybe not such a good start, one thing that you could add to boosting your day to be even better than it already was is if you're a Grizzlies fan, celebrating a great week for the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies could not have asked for a better week leading up to their big showdown tomorrow against the Golden State Warriors, and we've got you covered as we always do here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. In the first segment of the show, we'll talk about last night's victory, how it was an important showing for many of the Grizzlies bench players, an important showing for the Grizzlies and for a variety of reasons when it comes to playing in front of their own fans. We'll get into that in the first segment of the show. In the second segment, we'll update you on where the Western Conference standings look like and how they could play out over the next 2 days. And then, of course, in the third segment, we'll get right into how the Grizzlies can find success in a game where the winner between them and Golden State gets an 8th place seed in the West that is much more valuable than just simply being higher in the standings than the 9th place seeding that the loser gets. We'll have you covered for all the analysis when it comes to that game here in the third segment of the show. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app, wherever you choose to listen, that's where we will be. And we ask that you listen, subscribe, review, let us know what you think of the show. My name's Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure to be with you this whole season, my first season covering the Grizzlies on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I foresee it being the first of several, as I've enjoyed every single moment that I've been able to interact and enjoy talking about the Grizzlies, you know, with the players, with other media members, with you, with national media members, whoever it is that we have the ability to talk with that is interested in the Grizzlies. We love to give you that type of perspective here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It's been a pleasure of a ride, and hopefully it will continue through maybe a few more weeks and even beyond that as the season comes to a close and we head into the playoffs. So obviously the Grizzlies last night sitting several of their key rotation players, all of their starters, Brandon Clark, Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant, others, the Grizzlies were basically using it as a rest game. They had earned that right by coming from behind and getting a victory on Thursday night. Yes, the Grizzlies have had several games. A few they've lost, several of them where they've obviously either played down to their competition or just in general the competition has been harder than many had perceived, but here recently the Grizzlies had got the job done, and coming into last night, winning 4 straight games, 4 out of their last 5, 3 straight home games, the Grizzlies were able to get many of their most important players plenty of rest, which was much needed with how condensed this Grizzlies schedule had been in the second half of the season. Well, of course, that meant that with several of their players resting, that some new players, some of the Grizzlies' key reserves, would get big runs when it comes to minutes last night, and that's exactly what happened. 5 new starters, Tyus Jones, Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman, Killian Tilly, and of course Justice Winslow were able to play, and they all played extremely well against a Kings team that also was without several of its best players. It was a great back-and-forth matchup. There were plenty of players who you clearly could see were ready to take advantage of an opportunity that they usually did not get, an opportunity to be in a featured role in an NBA game, and it showed out. Several players stood up. Lewis King, Damian Jones, the previous night, Justin James for the Kings. Last night for the Grizzlies, it was obviously John Conchar and Jontay Porter and others who stepped up, Xavier Tillman, who stepped up and played in bigger roles than they usually do. But the key players that stood out for the Grizzlies, you know, in terms of my personal favorites on the Grizzlies team, but also just in general, players who, you know, many, you know, across Grizz Nation, you know, had kind of questioned, you know, where they would be going into the offseason. And this one game doesn't change it. But the player who stood out the most last night was Justice Winslow. 25 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, just 4 threes, an absolutely wonderful night for Justice Winslow, a needed night for Justice Winslow. So in the long scheme of things, in the long-term scheme of things, does his performance last night change the opinion of him? Probably not. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that it was a nice night for a player who certainly has dealt with a lot this season coming back from injury. Obviously, he also was out for another 3 weeks due to injury. His play certainly Lee is not to the level him, the team, the Grizzlies fans, or anybody really would like for it to be, but Justice Winslow made the most of an opportunity that he got last night. He's only the second Grizzlies player in franchise history to have had 25 or more points, 13 or more rebounds, and 4 or more threes in a game, joining Mark Gasol. An incredible performance from Justice, and every bit of it was needed, obviously, you know, including hitting the final point that made the difference in the game in a 107-106 victory for Memphis. An incredible game from Justice Winslow, a wonderful opportunity for him to show, regardless of who the competition is, a great point for him to end on for this season, and a really good opportunity for him to go into the offseason healthy as he can be, hopefully healthier than he's been in quite a while, and get through a full and hopefully normal offseason where perhaps it seems likely the Grizzlies will pick up his option, where perhaps he'll be able to next year step into a role and deliver on the production the Grizzlies certainly see in him. The potential the Grizzlies see in him, that not that he's going to do what he did, you know, several times next year, but at the very least, the permanent production potential that the Grizzlies see in him, hopefully after a normal and healthy offseason, Justice Winslow can step into a role where he could deliver next offseason. Another player who's really stepped up this week has been John Conchar. After a big second quarter spurt in the Monday game against the Pelicans to help the Grizzlies stay, you know, within range to be able to get the win on Monday night, setting a career high in points on Tuesday night, and then last night coming back 15 points, 5 rebounds. He stepped into a role in the rotation. Don't know if it's going to be there tomorrow and in the playoffs, but he really has delivered well also. Say the Grizzlies were to potentially use some of their, you know, bigger, more featured role players in a trade to consolidate, to get a quality piece to put in the starting lineup, John Conchar certainly has shown he can step into a bigger role going forward and deliver 10 to 15 minutes of production on any given night. So a big, you know, obviously a big week for him to end on as well. And then, of course, Killian Tilly. If you've been following the show or my work over at Grizzly Bear Blues this year, I am in no way, shape, or form embarrassed to admit Killian Tilly is probably one of, if not my most favorite current Grizzlies players besides obviously Ja, Jaren, and Brandon. But Killian Tilly last night, 3 three-pointers, including a big three-pointer in the fourth quarter. He got the start, 16.6 rebounds. This past Tuesday night against Luka Doncic, he had 2 very big stops at the end of the first quarter that allowed for the Grizzlies to take the lead into the first quarter and be able to get going against Dallas and maintain before they took over in the second half. But just like John Conchar, a big week for Killian Tilly. He said that, you know, when it came to ending the season on this high of a note, he may not have expected it, but he was ready. He had been putting in the work to, if the opportunity came, for him to make the most of it. And he also showed that he may be worth investing in long term, as his two-way contract obviously comes up at the end of the season. So if the Grizzlies wanted to end the part of the regular season that does not impact the playoffs on a positive note, they could not have thought of a better way to do it. Several of their end-of-the-bench players had great exclamation points at the end of the season. Justice Winslow obviously got to show that what would happen when his production finally meet the potential the franchise had for him. And a bigger thing than many might consider, but I do think is very important. With a 4-0 homestand, this Grizzlies team was able to finish 500 at home. They obviously had been much better on the road versus at home for 90% of the season. But to come home and in 4 games and 5 nights win all 4 games and be able to end the season with a 500 record at home, I think that in itself is a great compliment not only to this franchise, but the fans who came out and supported, and to these players who, yes, they've battled through fatigue, they've battled through inconsistent play. I'm not necessarily saying they're playing their best basketball of the year, but they played basketball well enough to get the job done on a consistent basis. 6 out of their last 7 games have been wins, and they are not necessarily peaking in terms of how well they're playing basketball, but they're peaking in terms of knowing that they have the confidence to be able to get the job done when they need to, which obviously they'll need to get done tomorrow and from that point on. So a great win for the Grizzlies. You know, even though none of the, you know, main players played, it was still a great victory for the Grizzlies. It continued the momentum into tomorrow. But now the focus shifts from a night of fun and a night of rest and a night of enjoyment to getting serious about this team accomplishing their goals of making the playoffs. Coming up, I'm going to talk about the Western Conference playoff standings, how things are looking right now, and how the next 2 days could really make things shake out in terms of the Grizzlies' path to the playoffs. Obviously, the NBA playoffs are now in full swing, and while there's still plenty of exciting action left over the final 2 days of the regular season to determine who and where teams are going to play, I can tell you this, it's also an exciting time if part of your fandom is wagering or betting on sports. And if that's the case, I've got the place that has you covered, and that's BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. But it's not just baseball. It's obviously an exciting time of the year in both basketball and hockey as they're finishing the regular seasons, getting ready for playoff action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON when you go to the website or mobile device to get that 50% bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit BetOnline.ag today. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So obviously, plenty of fun still to remain in the NBA schedule as we are now 2 days. We have 2 days left in the remaining NBA schedule. However, even though the play-in games and the playoffs still don't officially start till next week, there's still plenty of teams who basically are in playoff-type settings right now, and we'll get into it. Won't cover the whole Western Conference in detail. We're going to make sure to focus primarily on the Grizzlies and what could impact their setup for the play-in game next week and move forward from there, hopefully to see the Grizzlies have the easiest setup for their playoff lives when it comes to the play-in game next week. Now, obviously, in the third segment, we're going to get into the specifics of how the Grizzlies can make the most of their game against the Warriors tomorrow. But at the end of the day, the writing has been on the wall since Thursday night. The Grizzlies and Warriors, regardless of what happened, both teams wound up winning last night. But regardless of what would have happened last night, both teams are tied 1-1 in their season series this year. So tomorrow, when they play each other at 2:30, whoever wins that game will get the 8th seed, and the winner or and the loser of that game will get the 9th seed. So again, between the Warriors and the Grizzlies, whoever gets to win tomorrow gets the 8th seed, and obviously the loser gets the 9th seed. Now, the way that it works from that point on is that we know that the Spurs are the 10th seed in the West. We know that the Spurs are the 10th seed when it comes to them playing for their playoff lives. That will start Tuesday, as the Spurs will go to whoever loses between the Grizzlies and the Warriors. The Spurs will then travel to the loser of tomorrow's game on Tuesday to play the 9-10 game in the play-in tournament. So tomorrow, if the Grizzlies were to lose that game, they would host the Spurs on Tuesday night to determine the winner of the 9-10 game. Now, the winner of tomorrow's Warriors-Grizzlies game would then either travel to, as of right now, Dallas, Portland, or LA on Tuesday for the 7-8 game. The Lakers are currently playing right now. As of right now in the West, the Mavericks are up by one game. The Mavericks and Trailblazers have both played the same amount of games, and the Mavericks are one game ahead of the Blazers in the conference standings. It seems likely that the Mavericks are going to finish in that 5th seed, because even if for some reason if there's a 3-way tie for 5, 6, and 7, the Mavericks being the only division winners get that 5th seed. So, and the Mavericks tomorrow obviously play the Timberwolves, so it's likely that the Mavericks are going to do what they need to do to secure a victory and that 5th seed. When it comes to the 6th and 7th seed, the Lakers play the Pelicans tomorrow, while the Trailblazers play the Nuggets. Now, the Nuggets do have a bit to play for, as they're battling for the 3rd and 4th seed. For the sake of complication, won't get too much into that. But tomorrow night, the Lakers play the Pelicans, and the Trailblazers play the Nuggets. When it comes to that 6th and 7th seed, Obviously, the Trailblazers have the much more difficult game when it comes to the Lakers facing the Pelicans and the Trailblazers facing the Nuggets. There's also the added caveat that the Clippers could still get that third seed in the West. And it seems likely that between the Lakers and the Trailblazers, there's some sense to, even though it would put them in the play-in game, there's some sense to avoid the Clippers. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how the Lakers first off need to win today, obviously. But it'll be kind of interesting, and LeBron and Anthony Davis are playing in their game against the Pacers. It'll be interesting to see how the Lakers and the Clippers handle their games. But at the end of the day, the likelihood is that either the Trailblazers or the Lakers will finish with that seventh seed. Obviously, the Grizzlies and the winner of the Grizzlies and the Warriors will finish in the eighth seed. And then the loser will finish in the ninth seed. And then, of course, it's the Spurs. So what would we like to see happen? Well, obviously, the winner of tomorrow's game between the Grizzlies and the Warriors, you want the Grizzlies to win. And again, as I mentioned earlier this week, it's not just because if the Grizzlies win tomorrow, they then have two chances to win one game to get into the playoffs. That's one big caveat that comes with finishing in the eighth seed. But the other big, big reason why it would be great for the Grizzlies to finish, you know, with the win tomorrow against the Warriors is because if they're already in Golden State tomorrow on Sunday and they win the game, they then will likely either have to stay in California and travel to L.A., or stay on the West Coast and travel to Portland. That is a much easier and manageable travel schedule than if this Grizzlies team were to lose tomorrow in Golden State and then have to come back to Memphis Tuesday. I know in the grand scheme of things, travel may not mean that much, but when you consider that the Grizzlies have played much better on the road this season than they have at home, when you consider that if Portland is who the Grizzlies are going to play, they were able to play very well against Portland in two straight games and two straight wins not less than 3 weeks ago. That eighth seed carries more significance than just better odds because the Grizzlies will have two chances to win one game to get in the playoffs. It also should allow for them to remain fresher with their pursuit of their goal of making the playoffs. So with the winner of the Warriors and Grizzlies game, it's likely that that team not only obviously is going to have better odds, but also a much more manageable travel schedule. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Again, the Lakers in Portland, they both have different goals in mind. Their goal probably, though, both those teams know their chances of making the playoffs are likely going to end with them being in the sixth or seventh seed. And if they want the easiest path to the playoffs, it probably is worth avoiding the Clippers. I personally, as I've stated on this show a few times, I personally would love to see Portland finish in that seventh seed because I'm fully confident this Grizzlies team, especially if they ride the momentum of beating the Warriors tomorrow in Golden State, I feel very, very confident that this Grizzlies team can roll right into Portland on Tuesday and beat the Blazers. I'm not so confident the Grizzlies could do that on Tuesday in LA. So my preference would much rather be to win, if the Grizzlies win tomorrow, to face Portland. Now, if the Grizzlies were to lose tomorrow, then obviously we come home Tuesday night and face the Spurs. I'm confident that this Grizzlies team will beat the Spurs on Tuesday night. I think that the Grizzlies are a more talented team, and I think they'll be ready to make the most of their opportunity in front of their home crowd. So if the Grizzlies were to lose tomorrow and then play on Tuesday against the Spurs, that should lead to a Thursday matchup where then once again the Grizzlies are going to head back out west. They'll play in either L.A., Golden State, or Portland again. So that's how it works out, right? Is that depending on what happens tomorrow during the Grizzlies-Warriors game, the Grizzlies are going to play in either L.A. or Portland on Tuesday if they win. But if they lose and they beat San Antonio on Tuesday, they're going to come right back on Thursday and either wind up back in L.A., Portland, or Golden State again. So it's not as if there's so many different scenarios out there that it just makes it complicated, but there are scenarios out there that are easier than others. The best case scenario for the Grizzlies is obviously win tomorrow, have Portland fall to the seventh seed. But if that doesn't work out, then obviously you'd like to see the Grizzlies come back home, see them be able to beat the Spurs, and then either have the chance to come back to Golden State on Thursday and once again face Steph, or likely head to Portland to face Dame. So a lot of different scenarios still in play for this Grizzlies team. But a lot of things will become much easier if this Grizzlies team can secure the victory tomorrow night. At the end of the day, there's no debating. The best player on the court, or tomorrow afternoon, the best player on the court tomorrow afternoon will be Steph Curry. However, this Grizzlies team has faced many scenarios this season where the best player on the court was on the opposing team. Yet they've still been able to find ways to win. Coming up, going to discuss three key points in tomorrow's game that if they go in the Grizzlies' favor, I feel will strongly support their chances to beat the Warriors on the road and get that eighth spot in the West. Summer right around the corner, I'm sure that many of us would love to continue to get, you know, our bodies in as healthy a position as possible, obviously to enjoy being outside. Hopefully things are continuing to open up more and more considering how things have been over the past 15 to 18 months. And it's nice to see that and be able to make the most of being able to enjoy it. You know, it's not running a marathon. It's not going and doing 10 hours on the treadmill. It's just doing small yet significant things that you can do routinely on a daily basis. And one of the things that you could do is be able to enjoy a Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's a great addition to your day in terms of its taste, but it has plenty of health benefits to boost your health, obviously, to be able to enjoy the outdoors. Have it in the morning as a snack, have it in the as a breakfast, have it in the afternoon as a snack. Whenever you choose to enjoy it, there are over 18 different flavors you can choose from to enjoy at BuiltBar.com. And if you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar in order to be able to make it a part of your day. And I can tell you this, once you make it a part of your day, it's going to be there to stay. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. So obviously tomorrow, when the Golden State Warriors and Memphis Grizzlies face off, it's going to be one of the bigger games that, you know, arguably the biggest game that Memphis has had since last year when they played the play-in game and lost to the Portland Trailblazers. And for Golden State, you could say it's been, you know, nearly 2 years since it's been their biggest game since, you know, their last playoff run, obviously, you know, during the 2018-2019, you know, NBA Finals when they lost to Kawhi. So, you know, a big game for both teams, obviously, coming up. And at the end of the day, let's just be honest, this game comes down to one thing. For the Warriors, it's how well Steph Curry plays. And for the Grizzlies, it's how much they either can, you know, in some way, shape, or form, whatever way it may be, limit him at the slightest, or at the very least, prevent someone else from stepping up. A couple of other fun factors that come into this is that not just is it the Warriors and the Grizzlies facing off for the eighth or ninth seed, but this is the first time that Steph Curry will actually have played the Grizzlies since March 27th of 2019. He set out the last game of the 18-19 season because the Warriors playoff seeding had already been decided. And then, of course, last year, he was out due to injury. And then earlier this year, when he, you know, hurt his tailbone, which he still is dealing with a bit of pain, he was out as well. So he has not, the Grizzlies and Steph Curry have not faced each other since March 27th of 2019. But the other really cool factor about that is this. March 27, 2019 was before the Grizzlies even knew they were going to have a chance to get Ja Morant. So tomorrow's game between the Grizzlies and the Warriors will be the first time that Ja Morant and Steph Curry had faced off against each other. Now, if you recall, back during the 2019-2020 season, I think it was back in either early, probably around December, January, 2019-2020, there was a little bit of back and forth between the Warriors and the Grizzlies in regards to Andre Iguodala. Iguodala's decision not to play for the Grizzlies. Obviously, you know, Dillon Brooks, Ja Morant had their things to stay. Steph Curry came in defense of Andre Iguodala. Ja made it clear that him and Steph had talked about it. They were on good terms. Haven't really heard anything since. Not saying there's bad blood between Steph Curry and Ja Morant, but in terms of, obviously, an all-time great in Steph Curry, facing one of the, you know, best up-and-coming superstars in the league in Ja Morant. With what's on the line in this game, it'll be a really fun setup, obviously, for not only the Grizzlies and the Warriors and their fan bases, but also just in terms of a national product. It's on a big stage. This Grizzlies team will be on a big stage, and so it'll be a lot of fun to see, just like they were last year when Ja Morant faced off against Damian Lillard. So three takeaways from this are simple. First off, is the Grizzlies need to, in some way, shape, or form, stop Steph Curry. That's what it comes down to. Now, they don't necessarily... I don't feel the Grizzlies are going to sit here and stop Steph Curry. You're not going to sit here and hold Steph Curry to a 1-for-14 from the field three-point performance like the Grizzlies did against someone like Jamal Murray. But when you look at this Grizzlies team, they are arguably a top 10 defense in the league. And one thing that they've done this year is that they have done a very good job of limiting their opponent's best player. You don't have to go further by going back to last Tuesday night with how well they were able to stop Luka Doncic. But the thing about it is this, is that no matter what the Grizzlies have done against other players, there's no one who has a more resourceful approach beyond the arc than Steph Curry. And the Grizzlies themselves, unfortunately, have recently struggled from three, or defending the three, and that's what stands out in terms of limiting Steph Curry. Steph has struggled. He's 4 of his last 24 against Utah and Golden State, but the Warriors were able to find ways to win with Steph Curry still producing despite not being able to hit the three ball. So the thing for the Grizzlies is that when it comes to, you know, limiting Curry, don't let him get any type of consistent open looks from three, but also be aware not to let him use his ball handling ability and ability to get into the lane and to the rim to beat you as well. So the Grizzlies have played very good defense, and they do have the added caveat where they're going to be able to throw different bodies at Steph Curry. I do think this Grizzlies team can at least somewhat contain him. I think they can force Steph Curry to produce a stat line like he did earlier this week. Even if the Grizzlies are not on the level of a Utah or a Phoenix, I think the Grizzlies can at the very least make the narrative of this game not be Steph Curry taking over. But the big part about that is that in the process, the Grizzlies have got to make sure that somebody else does not take over, such as Andrew Wiggins did when he had his 40-point performance against the Grizzlies in game one of their back-to-back series earlier this year, such as he did earlier this week against Utah in game one. Steph Curry was limited. Wiggins almost went off for 40 points. Jordan Poole, in those games against the Grizzlies, had 26 and 25 points. So the Grizzlies also need to really focus on, if they're going to do all that they can to limit Curry as much as possible, they cannot allow for another Warriors player to step up and have a career-type game of 25 or 30 or more points. That's takeaway number one. That's the big thing when it comes to tomorrow's game. The second thing keeps the focus on Curry, but in general, it keeps the focus on another factor that is separating the Grizzlies and the Warriors in tomorrow's game in terms of their play over the past month. And it's not just shooting the three, where the Warriors have obviously, you know, are much more consistent than the Grizzlies at shooting the three, but it's also defending the three. Since April 15th, the Warriors are 10th in the league in terms of three-pointers allowed per game and 3rd in the league when it comes to opponents' three-point field goal percentage. The Grizzlies are 19th in the NBA in opponents' three-pointers made per game since April 15th, and 22nd in three-point field goal percentage. I know I'm like a broken record when I mention defending the three, but for the Grizzlies to have a significantly better chance to make the playoffs after tomorrow's game, that is the number one thing that it's going to come down to for them to accomplish that. It's not only limiting or doing what you can in any way, shape, or form to limit the best three-point field goal shooter in the history of the game, but also making sure no one else really steps up and delivers for this Warriors team. It's going to be a tall task because the Warriors over that same time frame since April 15th, the Warriors are averaging 16.6 threes per game. A lot of that has to do with Steph, but it also has to deal with the fact that he's been supported by some decent to good shooting from others as well. So if the Grizzlies are going to win tomorrow, it's likely going to be them stepping up and defending the three. I do not feel good about the Grizzlies' chances if this gets into a shootout. I just don't. Because at the end of the day, if this gets into a shootout, the Warriors just, they're more talented in that aspect of the game. Where the Grizzlies do have a bit of an advantage, and this is obviously the third takeaway. So the first takeaway is whatever you can do to at least kind of limit Steph, do it, but not at the expense of letting others step up and have a career game, like an Andrew Wiggins or a Draymond or, you know, whoever else. The second takeaway is that the Grizzlies must defend the three well in any way, shape, or form. Not just focused on Steph, but in any way, shape, or form in general. The third takeaway is getting back to the strengths of their game on offense. The Grizzlies cannot afford, especially with Grayson Allen, the Grizzlies cannot afford to play the Golden State Warriors style of play. The Grizzlies, I feel that one of the worst things the Grizzlies can do tomorrow is get into a three-point shootout with this Warriors team. Now, the game flow may sit here and cause them to. They may just have to start shooting threes if Steph and the Warriors come out and just start bombing away and hitting everything in sight. If they're forced to, that's fine. But the Grizzlies cannot afford to settle for three-point shots. They've got to take advantage of getting the best look on every offensive possession they can in tomorrow's game. And that's getting into the paint, passing well, and off that, creating high percentage looks from three. And there's a few factors that come into play for this Grizzlies team. The Warriors are one of the worst teams in the league in terms of turning the ball over. They're also below average when it comes to allowing fast break points per game. Two areas where the Grizzlies stand out. So if the Grizzlies can force turnovers, and they can get second chance opportunities because they're going to have the size advantage with Jaren and Jonas, Brandon Clark, and others. If the Grizzlies can dominate the defensive and offensive glass and they can create turnovers, they have the ability tomorrow to create a significant advantage when it comes to extra possessions. That is how they're going to be able to counteract the Warriors potentially making more threes. So if the Grizzlies can play to their strengts, creating turnovers, getting second chance opportunities, and on those offensive possessions, getting into the lane, producing, and from that, finding high percentage shot opportunities, getting to the free throw line, and then passing out for three, that's how this Grizzlies team can make the most of its opportunity. So the three takeaways for tomorrow that I really would like to see occur is the Grizzlies throwing different bodies at Steph Curry to, in whatever way they can, limit him from being Steph Curry for at least one game, while also making sure nobody else steps up and just has a career game like we've seen other Warriors do here recently. The second takeaway is the Grizzlies are going to have to defend the three well. They've got no other choice. They're going to have to contest threes, make sure they don't leave a lot of open shots, rotate on the perimeter well. They're going to have to defend the three well. And the third thing is getting back to their strengths on offense, because in this game, that's where the Grizzlies can create an advantage to find a way to win. But a couple of other things also stand out that if those things don't work out, a couple of other things do stand out that should give Grizzlies fans, hope regardless of the opportunity tomorrow. It's another opportunity for Ja Morant to step up. He had arguably his best game of his rookie season, even though it didn't count for some dumb reason. He arguably had the best game of his rookie season last year in the play-in game against Portland. He's consistently stepped up against the best competition this year. You know that tomorrow on the national stage is with the playoff, with much better playoff chances on the line, Ja Morant's going to be ready to go. He's going to make the most of his opportunity. But the second big thing about tomorrow is this, is that, yes, the Grizzlies, I think, do have a better chance than many may expect to win tomorrow's game. I still think they're going to be the underdogs, and that's fair. But if this Grizzlies team were to, for some reason, lose tomorrow, how much more motivated do you think they're going to be for next week? To then come back home, yes, again, it's not going to be easy for travel, but they're going to come back home and they're going to be able to face the Spurs, a team they know well, and a team that this Grizzlies team is going to be ready to beat. But then if the Grizzlies for some reason lose tomorrow, then on Thursday, in all likelihood, they're going to wind up facing either Steph again in Golden State or perhaps Dame in Portland. Yeah, you don't want to sit there and face Dame or Steph in a scenario with the playoffs on the line, but you also don't want to face this young Grizzlies team when they've had a recent chance to learn and grow. The The Grizzlies have shown time and time again this season, when they go through something once, they get the opportunity again, they're going to rise to the occasion. So I think this Grizzlies team is going to rise to the occasion. I do feel it's going to be a close game tomorrow. More things have to go right for the Grizzlies to win than for the Warriors to win. That's because of Steph Curry. But even if the Grizzlies lose tomorrow, I still feel that they are going to make it very interesting next week. And though if they lose tomorrow, they may not necessarily make the playoffs. Regardless of what happens tomorrow, I would be willing to bet that the Grizzlies, at the end of the day, are going to be playing three more games starting tomorrow and two into next week. They're going to have at least three more games on their schedule. And if they win tomorrow, I'm highly confident they're going to make the playoffs. And that's because of Ja Morant, that's because of our defense, and that's because of this roster wanting to make the most of its opportunity that it's created for itself after last year's disappointment. Going to be a lot of fun to see. Hope you enjoy every single minute of it. Thank you so much for joining the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. When you can, listen to the show, subscribe, review, let us know what you think. We always want to make sure we're delivering content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon. We will have a post-game show tomorrow, getting ready for obviously reacting to the game, as well as getting ready for the play-in tournament next week. An exciting time of year for the Memphis Grizzlies team. We'll have you covered in every way, shape, or form we can here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Have a great weekend.